America needs defenders in every place, in every generation, in our time. Respect for the right to life calls us to defend the sick and the dying, persons with disabilities and birth defects, and all who are weak and vulnerable. And this self-evident truth calls us to value and to protect the lives of innocent children waiting to be born.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report. The name of today's show is In the Spotlight and News Updates. So welcome to episode 5, again, of Eagle's Eye Report, and it's hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLB, and co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts. Mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. I know I say this every week, but it is something that we need to preclude each and every one of these shows with. We need to start it off with the fact that we live in a country where being able to say the types of things we say on this show every week is becoming more and more scarce as far as even being permitted to do that. So, I know I say this weekly, I know it's not a pleasant way to introduce a show, but again, today's reality is blatant and not very pleasant in many aspects. This is the reason for Eagle's Eye Report. This is why it's here. This is why we do it. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio. Our thanks to Annie, and also on PSN Radio and SoapLow Radio. These are all platforms that we do appreciate. We appreciate them helping us to get the word out, and they help us to overcome that very, I don't know, fact that we live in a country where it's becoming more scarce that we'd be able to do something like this. I would like to say hello to Stephen, who again is our co-host and our producer, for which there wouldn't be a show if it wasn't for Stephen. How are you today, Stephen?
Doing pretty good today, Roger.
Okay. Our mission is to keep you armed with the vital truth, as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital issues without fear of censorship or exclusion. That being the sponsor of this show, which is TLBtalk.com. That is a TLB Project social media website. Please go there. If there are things that you need to discuss and you're constantly being shut down, as long as it's not profane, as long as it's not illegal, you're never going to get shut down on TLB Talk. Go there, bring your friends, form a group, have your discussions. Again, the sponsor of this show is TLBtalk.com. Always, I put this out, information in this show will be included in an article on the LibertyBeacon.com that is published every single day after this show. So there will be an article with the show embedded. Any links that you need and any notes from this show will be in that article on the LibertyBeacon.com anytime after 12 noon Central tomorrow. All right, let's get down to business. We have a brand new, well, we call it In the Spotlight, all right? We start off this new spot to be used when a specific individual commands the focus of a portion of an episode. Today, on the premiere of In the Spotlight, we present some information associated with our friend and co-host, Stephen. Now, let's give you a little bit of background before we bring Stephen in. Rheumatoid arthritis is a debilitating autoimmune disease that Stephen contracted 30 years ago in 1992. He has been on SSI, which is federal disability, for almost 2 decades. Stephen was able to work for the first 11 years with his rheumatoid arthritis until his body became too worn down, forcing him to apply for disability. Most every joint is affected by rheumatoid arthritis in the sense that the immune system attacks the body and diminishes the joints via the degradation of the cartilage, eventually destroying the joints, which has the ultimate effect of rendering the individual severely disabled. Yet Steven still manages to produce this show, do his own show, as well as maintaining the knowledge and basic understanding required to be an effective activist. I would tell you something. A lot of times you find out that the people with the highest level of courage and the highest level of activism and the highest level of oomph are the people who are suffering something else in the background that they don't wish to make public to a whole lot of people. Not much of what you're going to hear today was Stephen's idea, but these are things that we want everybody to understand about Stephen. So Stephen, do us a favor, jump in here and give us some background. Tell us what you've been through. Tell us what you're going through and tell us what a day in the life of Stephen is all about, please.
Well, a day in the life of Stephen, me, consists of spotty sleep at the best from the from all my back pain mainly, and my shoulder pain gives me fits the most and wakes me up. I gotta drop my own levels down. All of a sudden both levels, both your levels and my levels, got blasting high. We're just blowing everybody's speakers out.
I didn't hear anything go up at all.
No, but they did on my end. And
wow.
For some reason, according to my broadcast or whatever, I've got a equalizer on here, and it just keeps creeping higher and higher. But back pain gives me the most fits at night. I don't sleep well. Wake up several times during the night because of the back pain. My lower back is affected most from the rheumatoid. But all my joints are affected. I think that's the main reason why I'm tired most of the day, because I get such spotty sleep at best, you know. I'm on a mild painkiller, but it probably isn't much better than a Tylenol as far as the type of pain that I deal with, or it isn't even as good as a baby aspirin, as far as I'm concerned, as being a painkiller. But, you know, I have to take naps. Some days I don't do, but some days I just get caffeined up and I go about my business, go about the research and reading articles, listening to interviews, watching documentaries. On my own show, and this show, luckily, it's only an hour long, but my show is 2 hours long, Roger, and I have to go about 25-minute segments and play a song for the people so I can get up out of my chair for 4 or 5 minutes and walk around. That's how bad the back pain gets. Most everybody knows that in the chat room, but, you know, I've never given anybody grief that has any sort of back pain, whether it's from arthritis or some other sort of debilitating circumstances. Because, you know, I know what it feels like. I've never given.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Obviously, this is progressive, because if it attacks the joints and eventually wears them down via how it affects the cartilage. What have you seen over the last 30 years as far as the advancing of this? Have you seen that you're a whole lot more tired? You have a whole lot less energy? Is the pain level increased over time? I mean, what are you witnessing? This isn't something that happened to you 3 years ago. This is something that started 30 years ago.
Well, yes.
By the way, Steven's not 25. In case anybody's guessing.
Right, right. I'm 39. No.
Yeah, right.
No, the progression has gotten worse over the years. I was at a job when I first got it, contracted it, and everything was fine one day, and I woke up the next morning, I thought I was dying, and I actually wanted to die because that was so much excruciating pain in my knees, my elbows, my my hands, my shoulders. I was at a job where I didn't have any insurance, and yeah, I couldn't really go to a doctor. And for lack of a long story short, I had to wait about a year to get to the right job that I would have insurance and be able to go see a doctor. And by that time, I had actually, you know, I had virtually no treatments at all. And it took a good year to a year and a half to get insurance to be able to get to start getting treatment. And the treatment back then, 30 years ago, 1992, 1993, wasn't very sophisticated. They didn't have the biologicals that they have now for infusions and that. I was given gold.
Back then, when you were going through all of this initially, were there times when you just were hoping you didn't wake up the next morning?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely was.
And I know that's tough to talk about, but when we tell people the situation you're in and how you're feeling and how it's progressed, these are the things that accentuate why I want people to understand what's going on in your life and why the fact that you can and do produce this show, produce your own show, when we can have discussions where I know I'm going to get learned answers from you. I know that you've taken the time to look and see what's affecting the world, what's affecting the country, and what's affecting we the people. Again, this tells me that in some areas you are incapacitated or close to it, but in other areas you're literally driven.
Well, you know, there's I try not to dwell on what I have because I know of people in my area that are far worse off than I am. You know, there's a young man that goes to my church and he's crippled with something. He's not able to walk. I think it might be cerebral palsy, but I'm not sure. And he was also born blind. So, you know, I can't really dwell or cry about my own situation when there are people that are and far worse.
That doesn't mean that what you're suffering should be in comparison to what anybody else is suffering, because we're all unique individuals. And how you take that suffering and how you portray it to the world and how you get around it and how you manage to accomplish things that most people in your circumstance probably wouldn't even attempt, that's all unique to you. And that's what we're talking about right now. What is Stephen's life like?
Well, as I said, I wake up in the morning and I'm still tired all day long. But it doesn't matter whether I get 6 hours of sleep or 10 hours of sleep. But today I feel pretty good. I got about 7 hours of sleep and I haven't been tired yet today. So, and I haven't had the caffeine up either.
And you haven't tried to rip my face off either.
No,
good.
No, there's something that somebody might be able to picture in their mind. I used to watch she's 14 years old now, but at the time she was 7 or 8, my niece's daughter. And I would have to have her open up a bottle of water for me because I wasn't able to.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that.
I just don't have the hand strength, and my hands are pretty much crippled up because of this.
Well, you've got, those are some of the most complex and smallest joints in your body as well, knuckles. So if you stop to consider that, all of the joints in your hand, compare them to an ankle or a knee or an elbow, they're rather small, which means that, you know, they can be affected the quickest, I guess, and probably the worst.
Yes, yes. I had my, well, my knees degraded over the years and years. And right after the Obama second election, in between his first and second, it was 2010. They were starting to talk about Obamacare, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I needed my knees replaced, and I was terrified about all these Obamacare stories, about all these socialized medicine stories. So I knew that my knees were gone, and I wanted to get them replaced. They are virtually the most important part on somebody that wants to have any type of a normalcy of a life. You have
mobility.
To be able to walk.
Yeah.
You have to be able to walk. So I went and got them done in June of 2010, 12 years ago. And I had a lot of energy then. And for some reason, virtually overnight after the operation, just like turning off a light switch, Roger, my energy levels went down to zero. And I haven't been able to find out why. Not from multiple doctors with all kinds of tests and stuff like that. And they can't just figure out why overnight I lost all the energy that I had.
Hmm. Well, I mean, we did tell everybody that you're not 25. I'm joking.
Yes,
I'm
but
joking. All right, look, I would like to bring something into the picture right now. Something that, for everybody listening, Stephen was not aware of, and something I would like to do. But first off, let me do a little bit of explaining here, okay? Stephen works with equipment that can be as much as 8 or 10 years old. Why? Because Stephen is on support, government support, SSI. Stephen doesn't have a heck of a lot of money, but Stephen will be the first one to help you if you need to get a show up. Stephen will be one of the first ones to help you if you need a producer to make sure that all of the sound levels work and that you've got your connection. Stephen will be one of the first people to help you if he feels that he's got a little bit more knowledge than you may have, and something that he says may trigger something in you that makes you, I don't know, present a little bit better. Stephen will be one of the first people to do this on a regular basis. But again, Stephen works with equipment that may be as old as 8 to 10 years old. I would like to ask anybody who's listening, and there will be a link to Stephen's PayPal account. And no, this is my idea, not Stephen's. This is the Liberty Beacon's idea. I would like to include that in the article tomorrow. And Stephen, if you wish, you can say it aloud here if you want to. If not, if you're a little angry at me for doing this, I'm going to do it anyway. Go to Stephen's PayPal tomorrow and drop in there whatever you can, whether it's $5, $10, $15, it doesn't matter. The point here is Stephen wants to continue to do what he's doing because this is the reason Stephen's still kicking. If all he had to do was to wake up every single day in pain with nothing to look at or nothing to look forward to, how much longer do you think Stephen would be with us? But Stephen isn't that way. Stephen is very productive, and he helps a lot of us. So if there is a way you can help Stephen to maybe modernize his equipment a little bit, we're not talking about going out and buying a new $20,000 computer, but we may be talking about, you know, spending $300 or $400 to upgrade equipment so that it works better, it works faster, he has more storage capability. And this helps us all, especially those of you listening to my show, to Stephen's show, and to the show Stephen and I do together, Eagle's Eye Report. All of this pretty much centers on what can Stephen do. And if his equipment passes the point where it's usable anymore, then we lose Stephen. And I really would not like to see that happen. So for anybody listening who enjoys what Stephen does or counts on what we do to get information out to you and would like to help a little bit, we're not talking about replacing his knees or his elbows or his back. We're talking about making sure that the equipment he uses to help all of us understand the world around us a little bit better, keeping that equipment at a level where Stephen can continue to do what he's doing. Now, Stephen, if you want to tell them what your PayPal address is or how they can get to you on PayPal, and if you're upset with me, I really don't care.
No, it's okay. Oops. Yeah, I'm also typing this in here while I'm telling it to, but it's my last name, Roberts, 70652@comcast.net.
And that will be in the article that's published every single Thursday, the day after we do this show, by noon central on thelibertybeacon.com. All you have to do is look for the eagle's eye. And if you can't recognize the big old eagle on the front of that featured image, then you got to be blind. And you'll be the next person we'll be asking people to donate to. But the point here is Stephen is an integral part of the TLB project. He's an integral part of the TLB Talk project. He is somebody who is beneficial not only to me, but to all of us. So if we can help, if everybody can kick in or enough people can kick in a little bit here and there to help him maintain his equipment. And I don't want to hear, well, if this isn't going to make Stephen better, then this is a big ripoff. No, it isn't. This isn't about making Stephen better. This is about keeping Stephen's equipment. Yes, it's going to be spent on equipment. Keeping Stephen's equipment at a point where he can continue to do the great things he's doing for all of us. Okay, Stephen, you want to wrap this up? Any final words on this?
Well, you know, you mentioned that my computer is between 8 and 10 years old. It is approximately 9 years old. I got it in.
Well, that's between
2013.
And 10.
Yes, I got it in 2013. I have a laptop. It is quite older too. It is probably about 2012 somewhere in there. But although I got that in 2014 as a refurbished, so it's quite old.
Hold on. I got to say something here, okay? Because I spent my entire life working in technology. I took my first computer class in 1969 in high school when we were still using punch cards. Let me explain something to everybody out there. If he's got a 9 or a 10-year-old computer, that would be the equivalent of me taking a rowboat across the Atlantic Ocean. Because there's nothing better today. 10 years in computer life is about 200 years in anything else. That's how fast computers have advanced. So a 10-year-old computer is very tough to do a lot of things on today. This is why I'm telling everybody the funds coming in will be focused on keeping Stephen able to help us all. About that, Stephen. No, I'm not. Continue.
No, it's actually Windows 8 when they first came out. So.
Ooh!
And the laptop.
Now there's Windows 11.
I know. And the laptop is Windows 7.
Ooh! I didn't like 8 at all. I would not use 8. I used 7 Professional until 10 came out.
Yeah. I don't really know if I want to go to 10 or something like that, you know?
10's not bad. You just need to know what to shut off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because Microsoft can't be trusted as far as you can throw it.
No, he can't.
But if you know what to shut off and what to block, then it's not a bad operating system. It really isn't.
Well, you know, Dr. Bill Gates, he does know everything, though.
Okay, we won't even get started on that. Look, I need to explain something. You just opened up a can of worms here. I need to explain something to everybody about Bubba Gates, okay? Not Bubba Joe, Bubba Gates. Okay, Bubba Gates was a thief. Bubba Gates was a liar. Bubba Gates, and no, you can't get me for slandering him because this is the truth. He stole part of the technology from Jobs, who did what? Apple. Okay? And he got the money in a lot of cases to really expand Windows to the point where it was as broadly used as it was via, I don't know, organizations like the CIA. I'm not joking about any of this. Bubba Gates has been stabbing you in the back for the chance to get rich and the chance to get famous and the chance to get power for many, many years. Anybody out there who smiles when they look at Bill Gates and figures that this guy is helping humanity is a freaking moron. This is a guy who loves vaccines, which are the most destructive, most destructive pharmaceutical mechanism ever used on humanity. And now we've got the most dangerous of all of them, the COVID-19, which he's pushing everywhere. He's the GMO king of the world. And he also wants you to stop eating meat and start eating grubs and bugs instead. Not joking.
I also
so you
believe.
You brought up Bill Gates and you really screwed up there, Stephen.
I bet you've also told the people, too, that he's going to be responsible for exterminating a whole country. 440 million people got his vaccines in Africa. And within the next this generation, they won't be able to reproduce anymore. They will be non-existent.
That's a continent. And I would tell you something else. We, right now, the global situation is door number one, door number two, door number three. Why are there so many catastrophes going on across the world right now that are constantly snagging your attention? Whether it's the southern border, whether it's baby formula, whether it's inflation, whether it's what nobody is talking about is what should be the biggest thing in the news. And that is how many people are deathly sick or dying from COVID after being fully vaccinated, which they were feeling great prior to ever getting a vaccine. These vaccines were never designed to save you from anything. They were designed to give you something. Right now, the people that are dying across the planet are 150% higher than a year and a half ago before they started the widespread vaccinations. 150%, which means it's 2.5 times what it was less than 2 years ago, people dying. Within 3 to 5 years, you're going to see 30 to 50% of humanity die. And what could happen unless we get really smart, really quick, is within a decade, you could see as much as 70 to 80% of humanity going away. This is who Bubba Bill Gates is. This is one of the biggest tyrants on the planet, but don't give him all the credit because he's really not that smart. His CIA handlers are, though.
No, that's right.
His globalist handlers are, though.
I've got the 1 minute TLB talk intro queued up.
Please.
Whenever you want it.
Whenever you want to put it on, because Roger needs to breathe for a second.
All right, folks, we'll be back in 1 minute.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right. So thank you so much for listening to our Yeah, sponsors commercial. And when I say that, it is part of this project, and it is something that when I first started the Liberty Beacon Project almost 12 years ago, I always wanted to make sure that we ended up with a social media platform. And here we are. So again, the reason for TLV Talk is today you have less and less places where you can go and talk. I don't care if you go in there and talk about how great your new dog is or how much your kids have grown in the last 6 months. If you want to go in there and start a group and bring in people that you know wish to have discussions about those topics because you know you're going to be able to do it, if that's all you use it for, then you have made me one of the happiest people you can imagine, and everybody else who works to make this project work well. So, TLV Talk, give it a shot, TLVTalk.com, even if it's just to set up a group to discuss the things you cannot discuss anywhere else. All right, we're going to go into the news update portion of this show, and we've got about 30 minutes left. So we're going to go through a few points. I'm going to make a point. I'm going to kick it over to Stephen, and then we'll go through, I believe I've got 6 points to go through. The first one is Biden energy inflation is no accident. In a press conference last week following his meeting with the prime minister in Japan, listen to me, Joe Bob praised the escalating price of gasoline. I'm going to say that again. Joe Bob praised the escalating price of gasoline as a positive step towards realizing the Democratic Party's dream of enacting the Green New Deal. So you are paying $5 a gallon for gasoline. You are it's taking you $70 to $80 to fill your tank when it used to be $25. You are literally having to cut your life into pieces because there are things you cannot do. There's things you won't be able to do. And because of the cost of fuel, deliveries to your grocery store are also severely limited. And the prices of the food have to go up because the prices delivered to those stores has to go up. Joe Bob, listen to me. I'm going to say it again. Okay. Joe Bob praised the escalating price of gasoline as a positive step towards realizing the Democratic Party's dream of enacting the Green New Deal. In other words, every single American must suffer to put us in a situation that will eventually collapse the entire economy of this country. Can you say treason? I don't know. Can you say treason, Stephen?
Yes, I can. And I can spell it, too.
So what do you think of this?
Well, it's all part of the agenda. It's all part of the... It's very, very easy. This has been coming for decades.
Yes, it has. And what Stephen says is absolutely on the point. Let's expound on that just a little bit, okay? What we need to do, and you've all heard me say this, but I have to open up this part of my scenario with this statement. What we need to do is bring the cowboys of the world to their knees. You cannot institute global governance until the world's cowboys have gone to their knees. We have to be an example set for the rest of the world. The one thing you can do to absolutely trash the U.S. economy is to make fuel so expensive that you can't afford to go anywhere, that the price of anything you buy goes through the ceiling because just getting it to the store now costs whoever's delivering it a freaking fortune. But there's one more thing that nobody ever stops to think about. If I'm going to bring a country to its knees, one of the things I need to do is eliminate the free movement of that society. I need to pin them to one place as much as possible. Why? Because you're activists. Why? Because you're troublemakers. Why? You can localize them, and it makes them much easier to control. I'm going to tell you something. If gas is $1.60 a gallon, and I can fill my tank up for $25 and go anywhere I wish, I'm going to. Gas, I've heard some people say $7, $8 a gallon. If it's going to cost me close to $100 to fill my gas tank, I ain't going anywhere unless I absolutely have to. And that's the grocery store. That's the doctor's office if I have to go there. These are only the things that I absolutely have to do. So what have you succeeded in doing? You have succeeded in minimizing the movements of the society, which makes them immensely easier to control. Where have I got that wrong, Steve?
It's very, very hard to say you say anything wrong. It really is.
Because you know that, like you, I spend a lot of time researching and a lot of time comparing things together.
Yes. Well, you know,
go ahead.
Well, you know, people have to get over the simple fact that, number one, your government is lying, and they have lied for 246 years, whatever it's been. And they are continuing to lie. The media also lies. They are complicit in this lie. And people have to get over the fact that, you know, the word cognitive dissonance comes up day in and day out for every single argument out there. And people just have to get over the fact that they've been duped. And they have to be able to be strong enough to do something about that.
Duped, stooped, and pooped. That means duped as in they've lied to you, stooped as in they've made you stupid, and pooped meaning they've crapped all over you.
That's right. That's right.
Duped, stooped, and pooped. Oh, yeah. All right, let's go to the next point. White House says executive action on gun control is coming. Okay. Now, I cannot, with any good conscience, tell you that a president who steps up to make commanding actions via executive order is somebody who is a traitor or a tyrant. I can't say that in all good conscience, because I have seen some of the best presidents this country has ever seen. And I'm going to throw Trump in there simply because even under constant attack, more and more concentrated attack than any president in modern history, he still managed to accomplish more for America in 4 years under constant attack by the entire government than any president in modern history. Okay? So, I don't know. You take this for a second, Steve. You take this for a second, because what I'm about to say, I want to see what you put in here first. Executive orders. Where do you think the president should be limited? If I'm going to tell you that I'm going to step in and change what the Bill of Rights says, if I'm going to step in and tell you that I'm going to modify the Second Amendment, because according to Joe Bob, it really doesn't have any teeth anyway. It's not like it was, you know, in stone, which... he's an idiot, because it is. So what do the executive orders mean to you, Stephen, and where do you think the limit should be?
Well, you know, I take things literally. Joe Bob is allegedly the puppet of the United States, the corporation. So was Donald Trump. So was Barry Satoro. So was George Bush Jr. So was Bubba Clinton. They were all the puppet president of the corporations. So what an executive order means to me is that is the law of Washington, D.C., those 10 square miles of sovereign land that have nothing to do with the rest of America. America has 50 small countries, and we are the United States.
Yes.
Semantics and words mean everything. Whatever they say in that 10 square miles, whatever they do with that Constitution has nothing to do with us. So I take it literally. I Whenever I hear one of these puppets talk, Roger, I'll explain this in very, very simple terms. That where Charlie Brown used to be in school, he would hear the teacher talk, and it would be wah 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 wah. That's what I hear.
I not only agree with you, but I will disagree with you on one point, okay? There are some presidents who actually do push back against the elites. I would tell you that there is no sane explanation for the massive amount of cheating, cover-ups, and massive law-breaking and treasonous actions to keep Trump from being reelected, unless you have an elitist caste who realized that by now, if Hillary had been in, the United States would already be on its knees. Global governance would probably be halfway in the door, and America would be a hell of a lot worse off than it is. But at the same time, you have to understand that we saw the biggest increase in household income. We saw one of the biggest increases in household savings. We saw one of the biggest increases in border protection and the biggest decrease in people sneaking across the border. We saw the biggest increase in respect globally for the United States. We saw the biggest increase in fear from our enemies for screwing with us. We saw, and I could go on and on. All of this was not supposed to happen because Hillary was supposed to be elected. Now, here's where I agree with you. Would I say that Trump is the perfect dude and he had nothing to do with the elites? I can't say that. What I can say is he was the spoiled brat child who got his own way or else, or he threw a fit. Why do I say the spoiled brat child? Twice, Trump went bankrupt. And who bailed him out?
The Rothschilds.
The Rothschilds. So there is absolute truth to what you're saying, but even the worst of the worst stand out. And even Trump must be given some credit for what he accomplished for this country. Had Trump not been elected, had Hillary actually made it in, they tried. They did a lot of cheating in 2016, but they didn't do it right. They totally underestimated how many people actually liked Make America Great Again and how many people just outright hated Hillary. So they screwed up big time. But that doesn't mean 2016 wasn't massive cheating. It was. So we do have to give Trump some credit for being for we the people. At the same time, if you look deep into a lot of things that were accomplished in his term, they scream global elite, but not in the fashion that Joe Bob does.
I won't take up very much time because I know we have some more points, but
you've got five more points. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been watching a presentation from a man that knows a lot about common law, natural law.
Yes.
And he said Trump restored the Republic in August of 2019.
And yes.
He said he did it by executive order.
Yes.
But everything after August of 2019, especially up until May or June of 2020, just seemed to go the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
Control of the country was given to FEMA. Control of the country was given to FEMA at that time, June of 2020.
Oh my goodness! All right, we got to step on. You know what? This is an entire show for you and me because I know quite a bit about that as well. I think that would be a great show.
Yeah.
Let's plan that for the near future. But right now, we need to jump on to the next point. We will do this going forward, right? You and I talk
sure.
about this?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. White House says executive action on gun. No, we just did that one. The next one is Trump responds after Sussman FBI Russia hoax lie acquittal. In other words, Sussman, who admitted that he went to the FBI and gave them information stating that it wasn't for any political party. He was doing it on his own while being told by Hillary to go do that. He was acquitted. Now, when you ask why, it's because this was done in Washington, D.C., and there's no way in hell you're going to be able to find half of a jury that is 100% conservative and not thinking, you know, in some liberal fashion. The proof that came out in the Sussman trial, including his own admissions of what he admitted to, this was enough to hang this guy. Yet he was acquitted. And if you take a look at the news going out across the country, there are even some, I won't call them liberal, but not quite as conservative as most conservatives are. Maybe, you know, sort of like halfway in between a moderate. Even these people are standing up and saying, what happened here? This guy admitted that he did this, but he gets acquitted in a court in Washington, D.C. Does that surprise you at all, Stephen?
No, of course not.
If that had been done 100 miles to the south or 100 miles to the north, there would not have been an acquittal. If that had been done 100 miles to the west, that would not have been an acquittal. But you do it inside Washington, D.C. How many of you out there heard this? That several of, and I think it's as many as four, and it could be more, I don't know for sure, and I'm going to tell you that, as many as four that I'm aware of the jurists were contributors to the Clinton campaign, which is what this is all about. How do you put a jury together with major contributors to the Clinton campaign in the jury? How? Stephen?
How? You cheat.
America today just got a slap upside the head. And the problem with the government right now, the problem with the elitists right now, is they're starting to understand just how big a landslide this is going to be in November. They're starting to understand that America keeps getting slapped every single day. Smack! Something else tomorrow. Smack! Something else the next day. Smack! And we're tired of getting smacked. We just got smacked again. There are a lot of Americans who totally understand that Sussman should have been convicted easily. And he even admitted his own wrongdoing, but was acquitted. What's happening right now is that the elites are annihilating the Democratic Party. They figure they've got something to gain. I'm going to tell you the only thing that would save them right now, and this may be part of their plan. The only thing that will save the Democrats from total annihilation in November of 2022, this year, is if they pull off an emergency of such magnitude that the government can declare a national emergency and put the elections on indefinite hold. Have I got that wrong, Stephen?
Nope, not at all.
And that's what I am looking to see happen, a false flag of massive proportions between now and November. There are already experts across the country screaming at the top of their lungs, this is a bloodbath. This will be a bloodbath for the Dems. It may be a decade, and some are saying 2 decades before they can recover from the stomping they're about to get. But we've got to move on because, my God, time flies. We've got 10 minutes and we've got 4 more points to cover. Okay. Actually, I think, yeah, we got 3 more. All right. So that is the FBI Russian hoax lie acquittal. The next one is Hunter Biden admits business relationship with the spy chief of China. newly uncovered recording. They just got this off the laptop. A newly uncovered recording may blow all of that out of the water. It is an authenticated recording of Hunter Biden acknowledging that one of his business partners was the spy chief of China. It thus heightens already serious concerns over the Biden family member, this member, and also Joe Bob, of being a national security threat. The recording from Hunter Biden's laptop was examined and authenticated by experts cited by the Washington Examiner, not by me. And again, try to convince me Joe Bob knew nothing about any of this. Thus, we have a compromised traitor sitting in the Oval Office. How many trips did Hunter Biden make on Air Force Two with his father to China, at which point he was talking to who? Well, it turns out that on at least one of these trips, he's talking to the guy who's running the spy agency for China. But yet, Joe Bob's sitting in the White House. Why? Because he's the only person they could trust right now. He's compromised by Russia. They also have a copy of Hunter Biden's laptop. He's compromised by China. He's compromised by individuals, believe it or not, in the Ukraine. This is Joe Bob. This is our president. Well, your president, not mine. But he's sitting in the White House, yet he is so compromised, it is insane. Why? Because the elitists needed somebody filling that seat right now who would never push back against anything that individual was told to do, would react instantly and would do it. In other words, just like a puppet, you pull the string, the arm goes up. You pull the string, the knee comes up. You pull the string, the mouth opens up. And what comes out of it? Exactly what you are told to come out of it. So, anything to say about Hunter Biden being proven to be a business partner with the spy chief of China in 2018, Steve?
No, that's all came out in the last 2 years. I mean,
yeah. 2018 is when it actually happened.
Correct. But I mean, it's been widely publicized more in the last 2 years.
But buried right around election time and other times of importance. Buried to the point where, wait a minute, we were talking about Hunter Biden's laptop about 3-4 months ago. All of a sudden it resurfaced.
But you know, Roger, I hearken back to what all of these puppets have said in the past. You know, they've said, well, the Constitution is nothing but a piece of paper, or a effing piece of paper, however they want to characterize it. And, you know, most of them have also been attributed to have been said that, well, you know, it's not illegal if the president does it.
At the time he wasn't the president, he was the vice president, but this isn't so much what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that things that should be under your nose, because no, there are legal avenues to pull Joe Bob, if any of this can be proven, which it can, out of office. Yes, there are. And it's via impeachment. And after November, that may actually be functional. But what I'm trying to say here is that 4 months ago, Hunter Biden's laptop had come to the surface again. And then all of a sudden, what did we have? Massive border crisis. All of a sudden, what did we have? Massive increase in gas prices. All of a sudden, what did we have? Baby formula. All of a sudden, what did we have? In other words, who is talking about Hunter Biden's laptop today except you and me?
Nobody.
It got buried again.
Nobody's talking about Ghislaine Maxwell either.
Agreed. All right, we've got to move on. I think we've got two more, and we've got 6 minutes to do it. Okay. Clinton Crime Incorporated, America's most corrupt political family. No American politician has ever been able to monetize their political careers like the Clintons have. In the year 2000, They went from owing millions of dollars to suddenly being worth $130 million shortly after that. At the center of their empire is the billion-dollar pay-to-play slush fund known as the Clinton Foundation, whose donors were a who's who of foreign officials, transnational corporations, and high-flying grifters. All of this sounds good, and all of this would have been true if you were talking about it 3 years ago or 2.5 years ago. Right about now, I would have to say it's a dead heat between the Clintons and the Biden family. Who's your favorite, Steve? And this is what politics is in America today.
Who's my favorite criminal? Who's my favorite criminal? Oh, it's got to be Joe Bob. He is so much more entertaining than what Hillary ever would have been, I think.
What I'm saying is, as far as which family is more corrupt, the actual answer to that, in my eyes, not your eyes, because you haven't given your answer on that yet, the actual answer in my eyes is, it's a dead heat. They're both traitors, both families.
Yes.
Okay, and as usual, Stephen gives us that multi-word, in-depth answer. Yes. Okay. The last point today is introducing your green social credit score. I said that. Introducing your green social credit score. A former Goldman Sachs official, now working for the Chinese giant Alibaba, revealed at Davos recently that, recently that a new global tracking system of where you go and what you eat, etc., will soon be operational to monitor and report on, listen to me, how green individuals are behaving. In other words, if you're eating meat and you're not eating your grubs and you're not eating your insects, you lose social points. If you're driving your car instead of walking or taking your bike, you're losing social points. This is the way it's going. And right now, the Chinese, in cooperation with the elitist that go to Davos each year, yeah, Klaus Schwab, they are working together to put together an app that shows them in real time whether you're a greenie or not. What do you think of that, Stephen?
You know, I...
I got him. I got him.
People. No, I try not to. It's just so disturbing how how easily people are manipulated and deceived. Nobody ever said we were going to have an easy time turning this around.
No, we're not. This is the biggest thing that humanity will ever have to accomplish. This has been going on for 400 plus years. The only reason it's going as fast and as hard as it is today is because of the massive leap in technology. If we still had the technology of even 50 years ago, things wouldn't be going anywhere near as fast as they are. And it may be another 50 or 60 years before this comes to the point where it even is today. What we're looking at is Agenda 2030, right on target.
Yes. Yes.
And that's where we finish up, except your last word, my friend.
Well, you know, that first, the initial numbers that they started out with was they wanted so many people by 2090. And then about 22 years ago, about 21 years ago, they said, George Bush Jr., I think you'd screwed up a little bit there. You and your Israeli buddies, and we've got to fast track a little bit and make that up to 2050. And then some other things happen, and not 2050 anymore. It's got to be 2030.
All right, everybody, that is the news update, and that is our very first spotlight. Stephen was in the spotlight today. There will be a link where you can go, and there's a link in the chat right now on Shake and Wake. Please go and drop a few bucks into his PayPal account so that he can keep his equipment up to a level where he can not only participate in these shows, but he can produce them and he can continue to help people the way he has been helping people. We lose Steven. That's going to hurt. Okay. This is not about me. This is not about the, well, it is about the Liberty Beacon Project. He's an asset of ours. Please give Steven a hand. There's no other way he can replace or upgrade this equipment. Anything you can do to help will help. And Steven, thank you for your time today.
Yes, thank you, Roger. Thank everyone else.
Okay, until next week, y'all please be safe.
My mommy didn't want me. My daddy went away. Somebody said get rid of me. Just throw me.
See,
some choice.
Oh.